We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You're muted. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat postgame show.
I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. And with me today, I have the great and talented Siobhan.
Hello.
Siobhan is on top of shit. I am not, as things always are around here. To my right, if you're watching on twitch.tv/Miami Heat Beat, I got Coach Lou, Saucy Takes.
What is going on, y'all? What is going
on? Why is the beam not lit, Saucy? Were you willing to?
Because they didn't after win. Wins.
They
only
didn't
after
win.
Wins.
When did you start doing that? Because it used to always be on.
Like this.
We started after post All Star break. We made some changes, you know. Gathered around team meeting.
So changes to the programming. You know, somebody has to have innovation around these parts. And
sure.
It's Lou. Lou really put it on his back. Welcome to the audience. If you're listening on the podcast, we love you. Thank you so much for the download. And if you're watching on YouTube, appreciate you. Take a listen to the pod if you're ever interested. And or catch us live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Miami Heat Beat. Subs are welcome. You know, funding us is nice. You know, right out here after a loss, you know, them bucks is appreciated around here. But my beautiful panelists, colleagues, friends, Miami falls to Dallas 108-114. They lose a heartbreaker, man. And we were talking before the show. They absolutely could have won this game. I think they're a better team than Dallas. I thought they played well enough despite their two best players not playing complete court, like wire to wire games. And even despite all that, had like legitimate chances to win this game, and it just kind of slipped out of their fingers.
Yeah, so I think I'm not of the mindset. I think that there's a difference between like a bad loss and they could have / should have won. I think that they could have and should have won that game, but I am not someone who's counting it as a bad loss. Of course, I think there's an overlap between the two categories, but I don't think that personally, I don't consider that a bad loss. But it's definitely one that they should have had. Like Bam missed what, 6 free throws? For all of the torrid shooting pace that we were on in the first half, none of that really kind of in the second. I'm more so upset like defensively, but you know, Luka is a world beater. Like he does, you know, incredible things. But even, you know, despite all of that, I think they should have walked out of Dallas, you know, with a W, but we move.
So let's talk what Dallas did, because there are a couple things that I thought were interesting in particular, and I want to get to Lou, and then Bon, you can close out this topic. Mm-hmm. The doubling of Jimmy, which they did pretty frequently this game, and I got to give credit to Dallas, and I hate giving credit to Jason Kidd, but what they did, they stuck with the game plan, even when Miami went berserk from three early in the game. And Lou, what I thought that Dallas did so effectively to slow him down was they sent the double after he made a move. They weren't letting him kind of pick apart their defense by sending the double early or initially after the pick. When he like commits to a move, that second guy came, and it really, really kind of discombobulated him a bit. And I really don't think he totally figured it out. I thought in the fourth quarter, they played really fast. It was a lot of transition pull-up, you know, kind of cutting. It was stuff that wasn't super duper in the half court letting them do that.
Yeah, a lot of credit to – yeah, man, we got to give credit to Dallas. They were doing some things, particularly as soon as they caught it in, like, the mid-post, where they made sure that the secondary helper was always on the strong side and it was always the center. So it didn't matter where Bam was on the floor. In that moment, they practically just zoned the gym. Like, it was almost like a semi-sort of like a – it's not really a box.
Kind of like how Miami plays Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. So
like in that vein, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not really like a box in one kind of coverage because, you know, you chase him everywhere. But as soon as Jimmy caught it there, it almost like their defense completely transitioned and everybody was kind of zoning up around the primary defender on Jimmy while making, like, you know, getting the center there. It was unfortunate that we didn't find a solution for that. It's good that we get that look, like, you know, half glass full is like, it's good that we got these looks early and in the postseason. I mean, before the postseason, because that's been a look Miami has been thrown at very few times, but every time they seem to not have an answer for it. With the late doubling or things of that nature. In the first half, it didn't really matter because they couldn't miss, to be very honest. Like, it felt like whatever three they were taking, it was going in, particularly in that first quarter. But as the game wore on, you know, the Mavs were comfortable with letting other guys beat them, but they didn't want to get beat near the rim or by, like, Jimmy didn't even get to the line today. So, you know,
that's insane.
Yeah, he had two free throws. So, like they made it a point of emphasis to not let him get, you know, full head of steam, get downhill. Or when he gets downhill, their bigs were very good at just keeping their hands up and staying vertical. You know, credit to them. Miami, like Bond said, Miami should have had this game. I can't stand the fact that maybe whatever, man. Fuck it, I'll be petty. I just can't stand the fact that, like, Strus's three-pointer got taken away on a sus ass call against the Celtics, and clearly Luka, it was a sincere fucking shot, but his whole foot was out of bounds, man. And I was like, nah, they're gonna check it during the. They didn't check shit, and it was just frustrating. I know we lost by six, so people are going to say those 3 points didn't matter. Bullshit, man. It was 108-111. We fouled. Caleb fucked up, and he knew it. He fouled when he shouldn't have. If it was just tied at that point, they would have just literally played straight up, and who fucking knows, man. It really sucks. I don't want to blame it on the refs because they could have done so many other things better to, like, negate that, but it just sucks that that was even a thing. And, you know, at least my problem was just be consistent. At least from that standpoint, you know, whatever. I'll be petty today.
Bon, I agree with everything Lou said. On top of that, Jimmy had six turnovers tonight, which is honestly one of the most unusual things about his night. He's not a turnover guy. He takes care of the ball so often. Five assists to six turnovers, not going to get it cut, you know. Just a weird night, and I think Dallas did a good job with the game plan.
Yeah, schematically, it's what you're saying. Sending the second guy after Jimmy's already committed to making the move. He's not a handler. He's not a ball handler that's going to give you a bunch of escaping combos. Like, once he's committed to kind of being on his line drive, that's kind of where he's. You know, that's kind of what he's made his mind up to do. And so by sending the second after he's already committed to that, and he's primarily always driving middle, you end up, like, you shrink the floor, I guess, but then you shrink the kind of like off ball, weak side cutting lanes that guys have to make moves. And so you effectively, like, you stymie Jimmy, but also kind of choke the space for anyone else to kind of operate, unless we were trying to make those baseline cuts. But, you know, it's tough. The first half, it didn't even feel like they were Jimmy or doubling Jimmy heavily in the first half. felt like a concerted effort coming out of halftime. In the first half, they just, you know, shot really well. I thought we moved the ball well. I thought we moved bodies well. And just in the second half, you know, it, none of that really felt like it translated, or that it came with them into the second half. Defensively, I was not even sure about how I felt about what we were doing defensively. I thought the couple possessions that we played zone, especially early in the game, I thought that it was good. It was active. And then I don't know how much we went to it again. I think like the second half team just felt different. And to your point about Jimmy turnovers, I honestly didn't even, it didn't register me that Jimmy had six turnovers. I'm looking at it now. Like I didn't, in the flow of the game as it was happening, I don't think that I saw, or I don't know, noticed maybe more than three. But yeah, between that, missing six free throws, we lost by six. Bam being unable to like
shake half and anything. Half. That's the game right there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
you just take 2 points here, 2 points there, 2 points there, and all of a sudden, you know, you're down. Yeah. You know, that's 12 points.
It's a 1 point win, 2 point win, but it's a win.
A comfortable win. Yeah. I'm with you on the defense. Some of it, man, it's just Luka starts hitting stuff like that, man. Yeah. And it's like, like that one pull up three he hit over Jimmy. I just go, what the fuck do you do? You know what I mean? I guess you can play a little closer to him. You're worried about the drive there. It's just, you're just in a no win situation with a guy as good as him. And it's like, you're just kind of throw your hands up and be like, well, fuck.
Yeah. They did a good job. Not like Luka got to the line four times. Like they did a good job, not allowing him to get all the way to the rim. And, you know, they were active in moments defensively, like deflecting passes and stuff and like that. But just tip your cap to it. Like, it's crazy, man. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, watching even in the first half when he was missing the shots, I was like, these are going to start to fall soon.
Yes.
I could just feel it. Because it was like, I don't want to say they were they never really rushed him. Like, he was putting people in jail early on. Like, he was getting off those screens. And he put Rozier, but Jaime in jail a couple of times. Like
everybody got it.
Like it's crazy his efficiency. And we, for majority of the game, we really didn't have an answer. It's just kind of like, let's hope he misses. Like literally that's what it felt like.
We were out rebounded by eight, and
yeah, that was a fucking problem.
And the offensive rebounding difference was eight. Dallas got multiple second chance points after we, you know, felt like we got a stop. And it was one of those, what would have been like, it was a stop in like kind of chopping away at the momentum that Dallas was like, it was a run stymieing, a run, you know, softening type stops, and we couldn't get rebounds. And then they'd get a corner kick out and then they'd hit it. Or there was the one possession where it was like, I think they got like three offensive rebounds in a possession, and like shit like that kills you. That is like demoralizing types of possessions, and it takes so much out of you. Six free throws, eight offensive rebounds, out rebounded by eight. You know, the game is in those numbers.
Chat's asking, why just don't you double Luka, live with the result? And you know, Lou, I see you smiling.
You can't, man. Like we tried.
You can't double Luka or LeBron or guys like that. It's scary because
he is genuinely the best player out of double teams. Like the Mavs score like something like 1.2 points per possession off of Luka doubles, and he's like zero. He's like 0.25 points above Trae Young, who's second. Like, just they were trying everything. Like Dallas scored 114 points. A lot of that came off of second chance points. Like, the problem wasn't the initial defense. The problem was, like Bond was saying, the cleaning up after the defense. You know, the closing out possession.
And part of that was, like, they're scrambling because they're overloading on Luka. Oh, so those guys are not in rebound position. And as Bond, as you have said, you and Tiff, really, all year, they're just smaller on the back line and the front line, but especially the back line. And it's like, now you have guys like Duncan and these guys fighting for rebounds. To be honest with you, it was a Jimmy should be a more active rebounder game. I digress. But, you know, Jimmy's kind of like Carmelo, that like when he has like those really active rebound games, you know that motherfucker's cooking. He's so like Melo. If Melo had like a 10-11 rebounder, you know that dude was firing on all cylinders.
It's like Dallas, not they have size, but they also have like activity. They have athleticism in their size. Between Gafford, Washington, and Lively, those are you have like three pogo sticks. So your second jump, your offensive, like all of that stuff is really fruitful for them. And so we're having Bam or Duncan or whomever, Caleb trying to be as athletic as he can be matched up against other athletes who are also tall. Like it's just it's tough to it's a lot to overcome.
All that said,
go ahead.
They could have won the damn game.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're like right there. It's a tough one, but listen, home team makes a run. You know, they had that 15-point lead, and you know, we all knew. I think expecting any team to hold a 15-point lead on the road is against a decent team is just it's foolish, right? Like this is the NBA. Teams are going to come back from that. You know, let's talk about Rozier a little bit. I mean, Lou, I think it's the best game he's played with them. I don't think it's a question. I know you used to say, I think it was a Utah game. You really liked him. Just the shooting, the getting to the basket, the finishing at the rim, the playmaking. Bam robbed him of like three or four assists by the not finishing. Because Terry was hitting him in the pocket.
And clean he finished on the still roll. With 11.
The playmaking. That's the fucking biggest key. Two big keys. He playmaked today and his three-pointer went down. Changes a lot of things in the formula. His playmaking's been good, but once a guy's three star hit like falling, like everything else, like he felt more confident. It felt like as literally from the jump, and it was off of two assists. The first they ran like a almost like he came up off a pin down for Jovic. And as he was coming up, he caught it. Jovic was slipping. First 2 points. Next play, practically the same thing, but now it's a Bam handoff. Bam gets to the rim, throws a lob, and like, I don't know, personally, I love when players throw lobs, and as the ball is like as it's about to get dunked on, they jump again. I'm like, I love this fucking energy. Yeah. And he threw like four lobs, three to Bam, one to Highsmith. He tried to throw a couple more, but you know, some things were happening. People couldn't quite finish it. But just in general, a sensational game. I thought he was damn near perfect. If there's only one thing I can criticize, and I will criticize it because it hurt that Dante Exum hit that shot. With 1 second after Luka got doubled by Duncan and Caleb, he was the next person over in rotation. And he almost like chopped his feet and like kept his hand down. Like just full send it. Like literally force him to not take that shot. Like if he takes a side dribble, shot clock violation. Other than that, a fucking perfect game in my opinion. At least offensively.
I have my opinions on Rozier, but even I can't. I mean, I just got to sit here and be like, yeah, man. Like, I mean, I took umbrage with the three he took, the little heat check, but that's not why they lost the game. I was just upset in the moment. I think I tweeted it. We had a conversation in our group chat. I was upset just because, like, you're on a run, and I just wasn't crazy about that shot, especially so early in the shot clock. But he was just awesome. He did everything for them, and I love that. I think he played the whole fourth quarter.
Ooh, I think so.
He played 40. Yeah,
40 minutes.
So I think so.
Man, Spo is in his Nick Nurse, Tom Thibodeau bag lately.
We need wins, okay? Like, yes. We do not have time to be, you know,
he said it around. Too. But, he said it when they asked the Tyler thing. Not to cut you off, Mon. Spo said exactly what you said. When they asked him, like, oh, is this like more like managing him for the playoffs? Bosher said, we got to make sure we get in first. Like, this, like, if he's healthy, he will play. So, not to cut you off, but yeah exactly what you said.
I enjoyed Terry's game today. And Tiff and I were talking about it. The thing I enjoyed the most about it was the smoothness of his movements. He has a lot of start and stop to him. And I like that. And I think that there's a place for that, but I think that sometimes Terry can be a little too herky-jerky, like a little too and kind of not really going anywhere with it sometimes. I thought today he smoothed his motions out a lot in like under the arc and got into his start-stop bag kind of when he needed to actually get a defender off balance. I super appreciated, you know, the 11 assists, Lou. You're, you know, spot on in how the game started, you know, two great looks for him or, you know, the one Nikola to Duncan or however that went and then his to Bam. And yeah, I don't know. I just think it's important that he continue to feel confident in. Yep, to feel confident next to the guys that he's next to. I don't want to sound like aloof. Like, I understand the issue kind of, or with taking the shot. It was early in the shot clock, but it was dwindling. It was a dwindling game clock still. And, you know, he just hit the one before that. It was 101, 106, and he hit the sidestep, and it was 104, 106. And so I just, like, again, aside from, we can kind of have a conversation about Jimmy, but like his shit came on, you know, later in the game, and all of his things felt impactful to me. But it's outside of Jimmy and Duncan, Terry was, you know, unquestionably the best player on the floor for
the
you.
The go-to guy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's some space to have kind of earned a shot kind of in that vein. But yeah, I'm happy with, you know, what I saw from him tonight. I like the way that how aggressive he was rebounding, and a few of them were in traffic and in areas where it could have, they did a lot of tipping shit around tonight. I think between, like, there was a possession where Bam, Jaime, and Caleb, like, tipped it off of someone's hands and it goes out of bounds, like things like that. And Terry had a couple in a small crowd like that, and he was just coming down with it and, you know, kind of going, and those things are important. So I'm super pleased with him tonight. I'm happy that, you know, he's getting more and more comfortable in finding his spots. And I tweeted this, like, I genuinely feel like, and I don't watch as much of the rest of the NBA as I typically do, but you can't tell me Miami's not like a top five baseline cutting team. And so Terry's for sure been with us long enough now, and now he's looking for guys coming off of that, where initially you're probably looking for like your pick and roll stuff with your big, and he's still looking for those things with Bam. But that lob he had to, was it Caleb Hayward?
Like, oh, yes.
From the left side of the floor, Hayward's cutting on the right baseline. And then he just had some other, like, real typical Jimmy, Jaime, Bam-esque dump-offs to guys, you know, cutting along the baseline. So you can see him integrating and fitting in more and more with not just, you know, how we – well, with how we move around on the floor offensively.
To your point about the cutting, and I thought some of the little backdoors that they got was, you know, Dallas defenders falling asleep. But I do think part of it is, like, teams are so concerned with shutting Miami's water off in the paint that they overload, and then eventually that kind of defense shifts to the ball. So that guy on the weak side who's the shooter who they often leave, whether it's Highsmith, whether it's Jaime, who knocked, I think, three down tonight, which was big for them, Caleb, whoever that is on the weak side, that's a free cut when the defense is shifting to the ball handler, to whether it's the handoff, that side pick and roll, whatever they do, and that's available. Highsmith is really good at it because he's the one that's like most left. Jimmy's good at it, although I'd like him to do it a little more. Did the streak break tonight? I don't think Jimmy had a three, did he?
No, he hit one
in the first.
He got one in the what? In the first quarter. Yeah, he did. Got that sly motherfucker. He got one. He got it. It lives.
Caleb cuts really well there. Jaime does. And the key to it is they go for the reverse finish. Like, they're not trying to finish back on the side that they came. Finish, sneak up behind, little flip over the shoulder.
Duncan does do. I had Letcher's agenda in chat is saying that 22 minutes of stream without a Duncan Robinson tribute, you'll be hearing from our lawyers. Yep. Hey, man, listen, if they had won, we'd be talking a lot more Duncan, but we had to complain about Luka, and we still got to get to Bam. Listen, Duncan was great, bro. There's not much more we can say about what that guy has done. Lou, yeah, we've done shows all last week and this week. That guy's just fucking, he's good now, man. He's that dude.
Most improved player candidate for sure. Duncan, man. Duncan, another game. Like, just fucking steady.
Gamer. We don't have to spend too much time on him. We are not giving Lechez Commissioner this satisfaction. Yeah.
Just go to my Twitter, Lechez. My pin post is literally a Duncan Robinson. Like, you know what it
I'll
is.
I'll say this. Lou, Bond, did you guys hear when he does that? I forgot what the move was. He did some move off the dribble. And Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller literally just start laughing.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
They start laughing because how else are you supposed to react to this? You're just like, who is this? Who are you? I never.
My favorite part is Reggie, like, Duncan hit Thomas Bryant with like a nice angled.
The little pocket pass. Coming out
of the right corner. And Reggie's like, he just wasn't doing this last year. You wouldn't have seen him. I'm like, hold on.
He Reggie, was.
Relax. He was. Like, he
that's the one
was.
Thing he's been.
That's the thing that he, the shot in the little pocket bounce like that. Yeah. He's been here. Don't do that. Don't do my
he's
guy.
He's had that.
You know, everything else. He gave him a negative
shooter.
Negative 11 plus minus today. Screw that.
Yeah. Yeah, negative 11.
Donkey, no. A lot of that probably was that second quarter. That second quarter was bad.
Honest. A lot of that was probably also the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because he wasn't in for that run. Which I do want to say one thing, and we're going to get to Bam, and then we're going to close the show. I don't know about you guys. When they went down, I think 11, I thought, game over. They're going to roll over. And they didn't. I thought Jimmy was going to continue his – because Jimmy was really a no-show until the fourth quarter, where he put together whatever it was, 6 points in the fourth to give them a bit of a pulse. But
offensively, Jimmy was a no-show.
Offensively, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Defensively, he was
– defensively, he was sharp. Not where I want him to be for the level that he should be at, but he was sharp. But guys, I don't know about you, and either one of you could take this. I thought that they were going to roll over, and I thought that we were headed for a 17-point Dallas win. And they fucking fought back. They took the lead at one point. And a lot of that was Terry and Jimmy just fucking gaming. But I don't want to get into like, should Spo have taken Jaime out or whatever. I mean, I think a lot of times we get on Spo for riding a lineup too long, right? So listen, you can't play those guys the whole fourth quarter. I mean, maybe you can, I don't know, but I don't.
I mean, I do think the Jaime Duncan switch could have happened sooner. Duncan came back in with like 3:56 left, and I think he could have gotten Duncan in earlier. And it wasn't that Jaime was doing anything particularly wrong. You just
I asked the timeline. I was like, hey, like, this is a great unit that's playing well. Like, does Dunk get back in here? And everyone's like, they're like, I don't know. It's tough.
But no, I didn't think they were going to die. I think, you know,
I don't know.
You know, 20 games left.
Yeah, they're locked in. Like, it's a loss, but you can tell the team is locked in. Like, even
Spoelstra's,
even Spoelstra's locked in. Like, if we really sit back and think about after the whole spiel, the team meeting and stuff, they've lost to the Celtics, they've lost to Denver.
You keep ducking what actually happened that day, but I'll digress.
Wait, what day?
The never mind. Continue.
Oh, well, anyways, Celtics, Lakers, Clippers, and now Dallas. Like, those are four very viable teams. Dallas on the road. Yes. four very viable teams. Like, the team is still, you know, pretty decent. Hopefully, honestly, I thought they needed to split this little two back-to-back game road trip. So they didn't get it today. They have to go into OKC tomorrow, and they have to win. That's how I'm feeling.
That's tough. And that's like back-to-back, you know. Like, I mean, I don't know where people feel about Luka in the MVP conversation, but that's two MVP level guys. All first team guys that you got
to
deal
with. I think I felt better about getting tonight than I do tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I think they've played OKC well at home, if I remember. It's a long season. Everything kind of
back to back.
Yeah, it's just, it's pretty tough. Guys, let's close out with Bam, and we'll close the show out. By the way, shout out to Eric the Great. Resubscribed 41 months, bro. That is as OG as you can. That's a lifer right there. And he said, I didn't even know Dante Exum was in the league. Hope y'all are well.
He doesn't even look like the Dante that came into the league.
Who is this
young, thick young man? Dante who?
Yeah.
Exum? I thought it was a different Dante Exum. I swear to God.
I agree.
Swear to God.
Yeah.
Bronx Joker.
Shout out to Bronx Joker too. Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad. I was because
you were about to say it.
Yeah. Because I thought you. I don't know.
No, I apologize.
No, you're in prime form too, G. I apologize,
no,
man.
No, we look out for each other. He said tough loss, but we're okay. 17 months for Bronx Joker. I fucking love, and like Eric and Bronx here in chat saying like love y'all. Now we love you guys, bro. Like, you guys make the chat, the way that you guys joke with us, the way that you participate. And the way that you guys are as much a part of the show as any of us. And I know that my panelists would agree with me that you produce the show with us. You were a community. So love and appreciate
it. You guys taking Lou's fucking neon sign and making that a meme. Like, that's great.
No, that was elite. Like,
that was so funny, dude.
I felt like I made it. I just felt like I
You've been named now.
Yeah, yeah, you really did. That's how you get indoctrinated into Miami Heat beat.
Look at that.
Lecce's commissioner made that.
Yeah. Shout out Lecce's, man. But the sign will not be coming on for defeats. You know?
No, that's a great listen. That's the way you do it. That's the way you do it. All right, guys. Real quick, and we'll get out of here. Bam Adebayo. You know, it was on the struggle bus tonight. You can't let a rookie guard you like that. You know, I guess that's my thing. Why is chat saying I look like PB&J Khaled?
You look like what?
PB&J Khaled?
PB&J. Oh my God.
What does that mean?
No, man.
That's really funny, actually.
Oh my God.
Another one.
Oh my goodness gracious. That's an all-timer. Chad's saying that's an all-timer. It disarmed me. I didn't know what to do. Bam, struggle bus. Bob, we'll start with you. We'll go to Lou. Just one of those nights that's pretty tough to overcome when you're trying to win a game on the road like this.
Yeah. I don't know that I have anything new with regards to like insights or thoughts about certain types of games. And I think this was one of those types of games. I think Bam was up against some front court pieces who are just as athletic, who are also as long, and, you know, who also have like a good second bounce. So there wasn't going to be much room for trying to beat people off of the dribble. There wasn't going to be too much space to get those jump shots off. And he isn't, you know, he's not the biggest guy in there. So I kind of expected some struggle from him tonight. I don't know that I thought that it would look quite the way that it did. I definitely didn't account for those four missed free throws. But, you know, I don't know. He made me sad tonight, but not in a way that I wasn't fully caught off guard by it. But I was like, oh, man, okay.
It's like we're not surprised, but it's almost like we've seen it enough that it's like, oh, well.
It's disheartening. It's not surprising, but it still hurts.
You're back on your bullshit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this felt like during that January month where Bam could not buy a bucket in the mid-range, that's what it felt like today. Like, even the looks he was getting, early in the like the first quarter, he had like two turnaround jumpers, and they were pretty fucking open, clanked off the back of the rim, like back of the backboard. Jesus Christ.
I feel like I know one of the exact ones you're talking about.
No, I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
Hard.
Yeah, and I was like,
and those rims are loud.
Yeah.
I love the way, when the ball goes in, it sounds great. I like the little, into the net. But when you miss, poof.
You know,
bro, like when you get front rim, like Caleb had a few, that shit sounded like you throw a medicine ball at that bitch. Man. Like,
yeah. Honestly, fuck the Dallas Mavericks arena, because every time, I'm not bullshitting you, every time the Heat brought the ball down at the end of that first quarter or start of the second quarter, they put the brightest fucking red lights in the whole arena. It looked like it was a laser show on the court. I could not have been the only one that noticed this. I was like, what are we doing?
As soon as we got to do more of that in the NBA. We need more home field advantage.
Yeah, man. And it's cool, but we, like, what are we doing, Heat? Like, we gotta catch up, man. Like, we can't let Dallas beat us at that. Like, we got to be the trolls. Like, every missed basket, like, I swear to you, watch the end of the first quarter, it was just fucking, the entire arena was red. As soon as the shot goes up and they miss, rebound for Dallas, no more lights, regular lights. I was like, these guys respect are the despicable up in, like, the command post up there.
Respect,
man.
The game.
God damn.
Respect
Lou,
the game.
How do you feel about Pam?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, he just bricked. If Vaughn, like he bricked every man.
I'm sorry, Lou. I don't want to cut you off. That is the growth of a host that you just saw right there. That is Bond. You want to talk about? I mean, Bond is like taking the leap from like all NBA to MVP this year, and for that sure was just peak. Because I forgot the question, right?
But I wanted his answer.
Because like, I wanted.
That Bond was a Luka worthy performance right there,
dude. Bravo. All right, Lou, continue.
No, but Bam was. I felt like he was. Honestly, he felt like he was fighting for his life the whole game. That's the best way I'll describe it. On both ends of the floor, like he
was on which end?
Yeah, on both ends, and I don't like not even he was really good defensively. I thought he was really, really good defensively, but like the amount of force that these centers for the Dallas Mavericks attacked the offensive glass, like he felt like he was like fighting demons down there every time, and it wasn't just them two; it was them two and Kleber. Them two and PJ Washington, them two and insert random guy from the corner, Josh Green, Derrick Jones, whoever it was. And it was
Exum.
Like Bam was just like on his last leg, but offensively needs to be better. Needs to like just he felt uncomfortable the whole game. Like I didn't feel comfortable watching him the whole game. I was like, Bam.
I didn't either. It was like a tinge of secondhand embarrassment. And I don't want to be like, I don't want to sound dramatic, but I was like, ooh.
Bam is becoming the up fake king, and I need him to get rid of that bullshit. The up fake is cool. First, hit your shots, then they'll fall for them. But like Derek Lively did, I think he fell for the first up fake, and he was like, why did I jump? He hasn't, he didn't hit anything outside of the restricted area, it felt like. And then stayed on the floor, and Bam was, you know, he's not tall or lengthy enough compared at least to Lively, who was like 7'1". So it was just a little struggle for him. Tomorrow, it's not like it gets better. He goes up against Chet, but he needs to figure this shit out at some point.
He has to be able to push Chet out the way.
Yes.
Gee, if you watch Chet, it's so crazy because he does get pushed out the way, but he's so long that he lets you cave his chest in and he still blocks it. I'm like, this doesn't make much sense. But
bro, they're fun. Bro, these kids are freaks. Between he and Wemby. Fucking crazy.
Ridiculous. We have another one coming in this year too at the fucking draft. Like, stop.
Giannis was the final. We thought Giannis was the final form.
These guys are ridiculously athletic, man. This is and lengthy, and we have none of that.
In like 15 years, they're going to have to expand the court dimensions.
Oh, first, at least the maybe if not the court, like
the sideline.
Yeah, like people stay getting injured.
I'm actually like not to open this can of worms, but I always think of like these guys get so big and like the human body, like can you can you take the impact of a professional basketball league, right? Like maybe the answer is they have to shorten the season because the bodies like, you know, the players that are coming out, the people that are playing the game that are this size, like, you know, big men have foot problems, you know, big men, these guys that are that size. And I think they're going to get skinnier, like Wemby, like Chet, because Embiid is hurt all the time. That's a lot of weight that he has, and it's muscle. But like Yao Ming was a huge guy, got hurt a lot. You know what I mean? Had foot problems. Big guy, muscle. Everybody said, very good. I mean, everybody said that Yao Ming was like the most difficult person to move in the world. And then Pekovic came, and then Pekovic was the most difficult person to move in the world. But yeah, so just small
also
size.
Also got hurt
a lot.
These couldn't guys play because of the injuries at some point.
All these huge players, you know, like that play heavy minutes, that are high usage guys. It's just, you know, it always Zion, right? You know, Zion is obviously
Zion's different. That is
I think that's a little bit different.
He's
but
the most dense human being.
That motherfucker floats is a bunch.
No, that is compact. He don't float.
No, my man, he sinks. Great. My man.
Bro, yeah, no, he sinks, bro.
To the man, very bottom.
Glove.
Bro, he would
give him
space.
A couple floaties.
He's so compact and just fun. Yes. That's such a great way to put it. Compact.
He's dense as shit. Like, he's solid metal. Man.
That's so funny.
I'm not saying he's fat, but he's just has a lot of, you know, there's a lot. It's like he has an orbit because like it's like
he's
when
compressed.
A planet. Yeah. Orbit.
Compressed iron ferrite. Like that dude's a meteor.
This is the Becker G said he's the sun. Like
do you remember when he was playing in Summer League and there was an earthquake and people for a second were not sure if it was did Zion do that?
like real life questioning. Oh man.
Oh my god.
Did you see what he said? I'm sorry. We over here talking about Zion. He said that if he makes the All-Star game, he's going to go to the dunk contest. Yes. Next year, we need Zion at the All-Star game. This is the last chance for this.
He beats kind of honorary Pelicans beat. You know, we have an honorary Pelicans beat lifer in Bond.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, appreciate chat and our audience for rocking with us today. I keep saying rocking with us today. I don't know where I got that. But.
Or tomorrow.
Tomorrow, OKC, we will be pub. Lou, I think you and I are going to be live from Rock Esports Center.
That's going to be exciting. So go to the watch party if you can, guys.
I don't know if Bon, you're on tomorrow, but you know whoever's on tomorrow will be on tomorrow.
Me and Tiff got it.
And we will. We're going to have a good time. So if you're in Miami and you want to go to the watch Five Reasons watch party, Lou and I are going to be there hanging out with Alex and Ethan and Brady, so come through. I'm gonna start telling Ethan to co-brand these. Ethan, we're Cobra. Ethan, expect a phone call from my people. Expect that shit. But love you guys. And
put it on your shirt, fix it on your back and turn it on and just walk around.
No, let's just say we need a blue beam t-shirt.
Is it a USB?
Interesting.
Is it a USB?
Is it a USB or is it a three-prong or like a two-prong outlet? Because if it's a USB, bro, take that with you. Make it work.
Prong. It's a two-prong.
Damn it.
We can get a converter from that to USB to power bank. We can make this work.
We got this, guys. We're working on it. We're working
for an MHB brand to watch party, though.
Sage Ethan.
We can't give that to Five Reasons.
Oh, you're right. No.
We can't give it a five. But when we have our own branded shit, and we do it. Do you have a car battery? Carry about you. Let's just says I'll wear the sign for the next heat game in Houston.
Oh, fuck. DM me. I got you.
Let's see you tomorrow, guys.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.